Today is the Feast of St. Stephen. The epistle for the Feast of St. Stephen is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapters 6 and 7. In those days, Stephen, full of grace and fortitude, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now there arose some of them that is called the Synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of them that were of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit that spoke. Now hearing these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed with their teeth at him. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly to heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They, crying out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and with one accord ran violently upon him. And casting him forth without the city, they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, invoking and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep in the Lord. And the Gospel from St. Matthew, chapter 23. At that time, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, Behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you will put to death and crucify, and some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the just blood that hath been shed upon the earth, from the blood of Abel the just, even to the blood of Zacharias the son of Berechias, whom you killed between the temple and the altar. Amen, I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered together thy children, as the hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and thou wouldst not. Behold, your house shall be left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered together thy children, as the hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and thou wouldst not. We're taken from the Gospel of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're approaching New Year's. It's a time for all of us to look over the past year and to thank God for his many graces and blessings that he has given us, and to ask him for future blessings. Gratitude for past favors is the best guarantee of future benefits. God has given us many blessings, many favors, even giving us life, giving us each day, is a blessing and a grace. So we should be grateful to God. If he's allowed us to suffer many contradictions or inconveniences this past year, we should accept his will and even thank him for those, for he has a purpose in all that he permits. And even if we don't see that purpose, we should trust that he knows and does what is best for our good. And we should thank him even for the afflictions that come to us. It's also a time to make a good resolution, maybe pick one little thing, one little fault to work on for the coming year. And today, my dear faithful, as I mentioned, is the Feast of St. Stephen. The Church places his feast so close to Christmas because he was the first martyr to shed his blood for the faith. Most of what we know about him comes from the Acts of the Apostles, that first history of the Apostles written down by St. Luke. St. Stephen was one of the 72 disciples of Christ. After the ascension, 7 deacons were chosen. The first one was Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. His ministry was fruitful. As the scripture says, he was full of grace and fortitude and did great wonders and signs among the people. That refers to miracles. The Jews found that they could not contradict him, and so they did the same thing they did to our Lord. They bribed witnesses to accuse him of blasphemy against God and Moses. And on this false charge, he was dragged before the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish court. The accusation was read, and Caiaphas, the high priest, ordered him to make his defense. Stephen showed great courage and constancy, and with fiery eloquence he reminded them of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Starting with the books of Moses, he showed how the sacrifices of the temple were a figure of a better and more perfect sacrifice to come. Then he showed how the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was that prefigured and promised sacrifice. The Jews, of course, refused to listen. And seeing their hatred and the unbelief on their faces, St. Stephen then became even more firm, and he accused them. In burning words, he told them that they had betrayed and murdered the Just One. They had killed the Redeemer, even as their fathers had killed the prophets who foretold him. And hearing this, the Jews were inflamed to anger, and they gnashed their teeth against him. But St. Stephen was not frightened. Filled with the Holy Ghost and looking up to heaven, he cried out, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And the Jews could stand it no longer in their hardness of heart. And in having closed their hearts to grace, unable to contain their hatred and their anger, they plugged their ears and violently attacked him. They dragged him outside, down the cobblestone streets, and out the gates of the city. There they picked up stones and began to stone him. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep in the Lord, as the Holy Scripture says. I love that expression, "he fell asleep in the Lord." It expresses so perfectly the peace which filled his soul and with which he gave his innocent soul to God, even as he suffered such a brutal death. Such was the death of the first martyr for the faith, the proto-martyr, as St. Stephen is called. Today, my dear faithful, we honor his courage and his faith. He preached Christ fearlessly, even though he knew the Jews would hate him for it. He loved God with all his heart, and he wanted all men to do the same. To him, he understood how Christ was so good, and he deserved to be loved by all men. He was also the Savior, the only means of salvation, and the only means of reaching heaven. St. Stephen wanted men to know him, to love him, and to serve him, for only in this way could they find happiness with him in heaven. So St. Stephen had a great faith and a great charity, and he teaches us an important lesson. The lesson he teaches is that God is worthy of our love, and we are also to serve him joyfully, even if this involves difficulty and sacrifice. St. Stephen was willing to sacrifice his very life for God. His sacrifice was worth it. He regarded it as a small price to pay for the happiness of heaven. So let us serve God, my dear friends, as generously as he did. The reward is worth it. God will repay us. Now, God does not require most people to preach as St. Stephen did. But he does want us to preach by example, to speak of, and as well to speak of the faith when occasion arises, when we have an obligation to defend the faith, when the faith is criticized and we can defend it, we have an obligation to do so. However, though, people should know that we are Catholics, that we are disciples of Christ by the way that we live. It should be apparent. We should not seem to blend in completely with the world, with worldly people, and with worldly ways. We should not simply fit in with all those who live around us. People should know by the way we live that we do not compromise our faith. We do not simply go along with the world and the sinful things of the world. We will not go along just to get along. We must at times proclaim our faith, and if necessary, like St. Stephen, choose death itself before choosing to abandon our faith. Let us then, my dear faithful, on this great feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr, ask the Divine Infant for the grace to love the holy faith which he has given us and to persevere in it. If we do this, we can have great confidence that God will bless us one day in heaven, even as he blessed St. Stephen. What a glorious thought that by suffering a little for Christ, we can gain heaven, happiness with God, absolute, unimaginable, incredible bliss, and for all eternity. This is simply God's way of saying thank you to those who love him and serve him generously. Sinners do not go there. That is, they do not go to heaven. Only repentant sinners. Do what it takes, then, to keep heaven in your sights. Keep it as your primary goal in life, your number one priority. Turn your eyes and thoughts often to heaven. The thought of that joy and happiness will give you courage to serve God faithfully. It'll help you to carry through the often sad difficulties and sufferings of this valley of tears. It'll help you to win the reward that God has promised to his children. And one day you will joyfully give your soul back to God and begin your real life in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.